This is your host, Michelle, and you're listening to Old TV with a New Twist. Let's see what classic television show we're watching and talking about this week.
Baby, if you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. Cincinnati, WKRP. Got kind of tired of packing and unpacking, town to town, up and down the dial. Maybe you and me were never meant to be, just maybe think of me once in a while. I'm at WKRP in Cincinnati.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 46 of Old TV with a New Twist. Today, we are going to be talking about the sitcom WKRP in Cincinnati, which was requested by our listener, Karen Day. So, Karen, if you're listening, this goes out to you. Today with me is one of my favorite co-hosts. He's also my husband. He is here for his ninth time. Welcome, Ted.
Oh, thank you for having me back. I love being asked to do this.
I know you do.
I do. No, you know my motto. Should I say it? I don't want to say it every time I'm on the air.
Say it again.
I hate doing it, but I love having done it. Does that make any sense at all?
There you go.
Yes.
No, I had it when I used to write for the newspaper. My editor used to say that. I hate writing, but I love having written.
When it's done.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, very good.
Absolutely. And we are sitting in a whole new studio configuration here. Mm-hmm. We spent a good part of the day last Sunday reconfiguring my studio, and it is a much nicer setup, I think.
Looks good.
It was your idea, kind of, how
more,
to do it.
More space, I think. We're utilizing more of the desk space than we did before.
Yeah.
Very good.
Much better setup. Y'all can't see that, but just let... Oh, and Thomas Jefferson.
I was going to say, you gotta tell him a couple of little additions we have.
My little miniature bust of Thomas Jefferson looking right at me.
Post a picture of that.
Making sure I do it correctly. I'll put a picture. Okay, so let's start talking about it. WKRP in Cincinnati, it ran for four seasons. It started in 1978 and ran until 1982.
Episodes. Wow.
Okay. The premise is real simple. It's just the misadventures of the staff of a radio station in Cincinnati.
Yep.
Period.
That's it.
The cast of characters, we're going to go over the characters on the show. Mm-hmm. Mr. Carlson, who's the general manager of the show, doesn't know anything going on in
Not
his station.
Clue. Yeah. Not a clue.
He's played by Gordon Jump. Mm-hmm. Then there is Andy Travis. He's the program director of the radio station. He kind of runs the show.
Right.
He's the boss. And he's played by Gary Sandy in very tight jeans.
And high-waisted.
High-waisted.
Tight jeans. But that's late 70s, early 80s.
Very tight jeans, yeah.
Yeah.
The receptionist, Jennifer Marlowe, is played by the voluptuous Lonnie Anderson. We're going to talk about the females
a little bit later. You may be surprised.
No, I think I'm not going to be surprised.
Oh, you probably won't.
I know you well.
Right.
The first DJ is Dr. Johnny Fever, whose real name is John Caravella. He's played by Howard Hessman. The second, the nighttime DJ, Venus Flytrap, is played by Tim Reed. The news director, Les Nessman, is played by Richard Sanders. The sales manager, Herb Tarlick, is played by Frank Bonner. The billing and news clerk, Bailey Quarters, is played by Jan Smithers.
Okay.
So that's the cast.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people, and they all participate. Yeah. It isn't like somebody's on the periphery and don't say much. They all kind of participate evenly.
Yeah, I don't know if that was common for every episode, because I mean, I watched it occasionally. I wasn't a regular watcher of it. But,
yeah.
But yeah.
Well, this is your basic workplace comedy. We had Mary Tyler Moore in the newsroom.
Yeah.
There's these, you know, places where we just get to know all the coworkers.
Yeah.
We're going to talk specifically about season 4, episode 4, titled Rumors. And it aired October 28th, 1981. Now.
Okay.
I think Rumors is not necessarily the best of titles for this. Yeah. I think you could maybe call it Misunderstandings, Miscommunications.
Right. Yeah, nobody really started any rumors, I guess.
Well,
they giggled with each other. It's reminiscent of the Three's Company sort of style. where you overhear one thing and you jump to conclusions.
Mr.
or
and Mrs. Roper always thought something was going on that wasn't. Right. It looked a certain way.
Now, Jack
and it
wanted
wasn't.
It to be.
But no, no, you know, because on that show, there was a reason for them to think what they were thinking. There's no basis in any of this. We're going to talk about it as it unfolds. I got issues with this episode.
Okay. You can't. Just say it. How many you got?
I have. I'm going to ring a bell every time I have an issue. Okay, y'all? I'm going to
talk to me.
As they come. All right, babe. I'm not going
to
take it.
Talk to me.
Okay, here we go. Okay. There's a lot. Okay. Let's get into the episode.
Yeah, you got like 8 pages of notes here.
Dr. Johnny Fever is walking around the radio station. He needs a place to stay.
Looking for a place to stay.
He's having his apartment fumigated for lizards.
Right.
Never
big
heard
ones.
Of this.
Big
yeah,
ones. Some,
big lizards.
Some of them are big. Yeah.
So he first goes to Les Nessman, the newsman, and Les says, no, because you're messy.
Right.
And then in comes Andy Travis, who's the program director with the tight jeans.
Tight jeans.
And
the boss.
Yeah, and he's the boss. And he asks him, can I have tomorrow off? And also, I need a place to stay. And Andy says, yes, for time off. No, you can't stay with me because there's usually somebody else staying with me.
Right.
Of course. But.
Right.
Let me just tell you a little side gossip here.
Okay.
During the making of this show, him and Lonnie Anderson were banging it out.
Is that right?
On the side. Yes.
Oh, you see, I did not know that.
And this is not a rumor.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and I'm going to quote right here from Lonnie Anderson's 1995 memoir, My Life in High Heels.
Hmm.
And I quote, I couldn't keep my hands off him.
Wow.
I admit I was sexually addicted to him. We would go out to dinner and not even make it home from restaurants. We had to pull over to the side of the road on a busy street.
Wow.
End quote. I hope you got your kids out of the car before I read that.
yeah. You should have given them the warning first.
You should have did a little
warning.
You
have to edit the warning in
there.
So you think the writing on the show was hinting at that?
Oh, no, not
when
at
he
all.
Said,
not at all.
Somebody staying with me?
No. That's just a little side thing. A little gossipy,
that's
juicy
a little trivia,
thing I wanted to throw in.
He's got some old Asian guy staying with him.
Well,
apparently.
That's a lie.
I know.
He's got women in and out of there. So anyway, Andy tells Johnny, take a week off. You've been looking tired.
Need vacation.
So immediately Johnny's like, all right, well, everybody says no to Johnny except Bailey Quarters,
right,
who is the billing clerk and news researcher.
He didn't even
person.
Ask her. Really?
And she just overheard it and said, oh, you need a place to stay. You can stay with me. And I don't know if she's really sweet or really dumb. I have a lot to say about her later on. But so she says, no, here's the key.
Right.
And Herb and Les are sitting right there. So she gives him the key and he's like, oh, thank you. And he walks out and they're like, oh, well, where are you going?
Yeah, I didn't know you were going out of town.
because they're assuming she's not
going to
no be
there.
There's
no way you letting this man to live with you if you're going to be there.
She's letting him use the place while she's gone. And they're so they're taking a big leap here. But then that has set up the show.
Right.
And we go into the theme song.
That's the whole, there's a couple little subplots, I guess, where Johnny thinks he's trying
to
be.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah. Okay, my bad.
But that's just the setup. That's what has happened thus far. Stay with me, Theodore. This is linear.
My bad. Okay, that's true. I'm OCD. I jump around a little bit.
I know. Calm down. So they go into the theme song, which this is, I love this thing. You said something about the theme song.
Yeah, it just brings you back to, I mean, we graduated high school. Late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
So that brings me back to those days.
It's reminiscent of the Welcome Back, Cotter,
a
little bit, theme song. It takes you right back to those 70s times. So then now, after the theme song and the intro, we're at the radio station. And there's a guy filling in for Johnny Fever, whose name is Rex.
Mm-hmm.
And Rex is real creepy.
He looks like he's going to play tennis, and I don't get that.
He's always dressed like that. He's got the sweatband on his wrist and everything. I'm like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But okay. But he's playing music. And he puts on a little go-go's. Our lips are sealed. And that's strange to be playing actual music on a television show because there's a lot of licensing issues. You usually just hear very generic music.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a tidbit about that later in Mom's Useless Trivia.
Okay.
And now we flip back to Dr. Johnny Fever, who is sitting eating cereal in Bailey's apartment. And he is listening to Rex on the radio in his time slot. And Rex calls him an old guy. this is feeding into the plot point of he's now Johnny Fever is staying at Bailey's apartment, walking around in his robe, and he's got it in his head because Andy told him, take the week off, you look tired, that Andy's looking to replace him in his time slot.
Right. That feeds into that storyline where Johnny thinks he's being replaced or moved.
Paranoia is going crazy in his head right now for no reason, which hey, I've been there. Your mind gets away from you sometimes. You know, you can think that.
I hear you.
So he's going crazy.
Yeah.
So Bailey wakes up and she's having a cereal too. And he's like, oh, I'm going to get replaced. And she's like, no, if you were going to be moved, I would have heard it.
Right.
You know, workplace gossip,
you know,
everybody hears, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she says this part. Oh my God. Okay. So she's like, no, Johnny, you need to just calm down and relax. This is your vacation. You need to take advantage of your situation. Read a book. Take a walk. She's rubbing
sending him signals, man. She's rubbing his hair and everything.
Yeah. I'm like, what the hell is she doing?
Right. I'm like, what's your problem?
What are you? She's like,
it's totally understandable that he would read that.
Yes.
In her actions.
Yes.
Without a doubt. When you see
the show. She's massaging his shoulder. All of a sudden, and she's like, so then she goes to get ready for work. Okay.
Yeah.
After that scene, I'm like, what?
I mean, I agree.
No,
I think that might have been a little overacting to it. It lends to the storyline, lends to the plot.
But it makes no sense.
But why do that? Right. The people in the office are going to be talking enough.
Well, she don't even know that they're talking yet.
Right. But there's no reason for her to do that in the house. Nobody sees you.
Right.
Yeah.
So back at WKRP, Andy and Jennifer, fresh out of a limo somewhere on the side of the road. No, that isn't Andy and Jennifer. That's Lonnie and Gary.
Lonnie and Gary, right.
The real people. And they're talking about redecorating the lobby, which is another.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Time filler.
But she talked, they're going to get new furniture and new carpet and new paintings on the wall. And she says, visitors will be very impressed until they talk to someone.
Right.
Which was funny.
That's true.
So Herb and Les come in and they're talking about a new show that they've pitched for the station called Business About Business, where they're going to interview the owners of businesses who advertise with them, which I think is a good idea.
I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. So in comes Bailey and they're all immediately, you didn't get a lot of sleep, or just insinuating.
I think she was a little late or something.
Immediately
she
that
slept in.
Something's going on because Johnny is staying at her apartment. So people assume something is going on between them two because a man and a woman cannot stay in the same place without people thinking something is going on. Ted, what were you thinking about?
I was thinking, I totally understand that. I get that.
Uh-huh.
If a man and a woman stay in an apartment overnight, I get it. People are going to think that something happened.
You're not thinking about what I'm thinking?
I'm thinking about me and you.
Watching for burglars.
Watching for burglars. Exactly.
Okay. Y'all need to hear this story.
Go ahead.
Because I'd say back some maybe 37 years ago, my house had gotten robbed.
Yes.
And the people, when they left my back door, they took the key out of the door. So somewhere out there were robbers with the key to my house. And I had to wait to get the locksmith to come out to change the locks. So in the meantime, Ted came and stayed and slept on the sofa.
Well, for people who don't know this, right, you and I have been knowing each other since we're 14
we
or 15
had already
years
been
old.
Friends for 10 years
we were friends
point.
For 10 years we
at
weren't married
we weren't even dating we were
weren't
friends.
Even dating right
we
so,
were friends
yeah so we people might not know that we've known each other for 45 years
yes.
or whatever, something like that, about 45 years give or
take.
So you were scared. You asked me to come spend a couple of nights till you got things fixed.
Yeah.
Totally slept on the couch.
Totally slept on the couch.
Absolutely nothing happened.
And his family,
right.
Your grandpa,
Pops, the OG. Pops.
Yeah,
OG.
We know, Ted. You were over there watching for burglars,
wink, wink.
And we kept saying, but really, he's sleeping on the sofa. And nobody believed us. And God is our witness, y'all.
I think the family still says that, watching for burglars.
Oh,
they
watching
still refer
for
that.
Burglars
oh, yeah, watching
is,
for burglars.
Yeah. Right. Back when Ted was watching for burglars. But he really was. Truthfully, he was. And that's immediately what I thought of. Because everybody thinks it's impossible that a man can stay at a woman's house and something's not going to happen.
Correct.
And it can.
Absolutely can.
And we're the proof
Living
of
proof.
That. Living proof. So we... Just to throw in a little personal tidbit there.
Right.
Because that's true. And it does apply. So then Venus Flytrap is in the programming office with Andy Travis. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about the new show, mm-hmm. about the business on business. And he says, well, I'm not going to have Les do it. I'm going to give it to Bailey to do.
Right.
So that's another little thing. Hold on to that.
Right.
But all Venus wants to talk about is Johnny staying at Bailey's apartment. Mm-hmm. You know what's going on.
Not a big place.
Yeah.
It's not a small place.
So what? And they're giggling like schoolgirls.
Right.
One of them starts howling like a wolf, like, oh, yeah. I'm like, what, yeah. What does that mean?
Whoa. I don't know what's he doing? Like, literally, and Bailey even makes a comment later on. What are you, 11 years old?
Yeah. She walks in the door and they can't stop laughing. They're just laughing and laughing. I want to say here, so already Herb, Jennifer, and Les have made these insinuations to her. And now these two, the whole radio station's talking about it. And there's no basis for this at all, other than she let a friend stay there.
Right.
That's it. So it's really crazy. And I have here, Andy's pants are really tight. Okay. So Rex walks in, the creepy guy dressed for tennis. He walks in and says, yeah, I hear Johnny is squeezing her.
Like, well, he bumps into her. He says, you can bump to me anytime.
Yeah. It's like everybody thinks she's this a floozy. Right. And she says, y'all are all 11 years old. She walks out. Okay. Now, let's take a little sidebar here because there's all this innuendo going on at the radio station. But I would like to know, Ted, now that we've met both Bailey and Jennifer, we're going to do a Ginger or Marianne type thing. Did you know that was coming?
I figured.
Which one?
Bailey. Hands down.
See? And 100%. It's the same thing 100%. As the Ginger and Marianne situation. Correct. Because Ginger is supposed to be the voluptuous, gorgeous one.
Right.
And Bailey's like the cute little down home wearing the glasses and all. But Bailey, I would assume she's more attractive to most
sweeter.
Men.
She's sweeter. Yeah.
Yeah. In this episode, like all of that, she's a little dumb.
You know, what's her name's hair?
Well, this is
what's the character's name? I forget.
Jennifer.
I remember Lonnie Anderson. That's all I remember. Yeah. Too much hairspray.
Too blonde.
Stiff.
Too stiff.
Yeah.
One thing about Bailey that annoyed me, though.
Go ahead.
When she talks, her mouth don't open enough. Did you notice
she's got
that?
Like a lisp.
No, it isn't that. It's her her mouth don't open enough. It stays
I
like
didn't
this.
Notice
when she's
her. I didn't notice her too much.
Maybe she's a ventriloquist.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch it. Maybe she's ventriloquist.
Maybe she's practicing to be a ventriloquist, but her mouth just doesn't open enough when she's talking. It's annoying. I'm like, is your jaw wired shut?
I did not notice that.
Much the same as Ginger and Marianne. Not the voluptuous one, the just
like
cute
the girl
one.
Next door. Yeah.
The girl next door always wins out.
Right.
It's a shame I'm neither one of those,
right.
The voluptuous one or the girl next door.
Right.
So, okay. So now, back at the apartment, Bailey comes home from work after all day fielding all this innuendo and everything. Mm-hmm. And Johnny has the candles lit and he's at the table because he took a hint from her that morning.
Right. She's rubbing all over his hair and everything. Take advantage of your situation.
He's telling her, she told him, go for it.
Go for it. Right.
He's like, she's inviting me in.
He's singing some song, whatever.
Yeah, he's ready. But she walks in and tells him everything going on at the station. She thinks that they think we're carrying on like I'm some kind of floozy. It's an insult to both of us.
Yeah.
She's going on and on about it. And then she goes, I'm going to bed. And then he realizes, oh.
Put my robe on.
Yeah, let me put my robe back on. And I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be moved out of my time slot and all this kind of stuff. Well, then she comes back in.
Mm-hmm.
This is where.
Right.
Okay. She comes in and says, you know, Johnny, if they want to indulge in their petty little rumors, let's let them. And she acts like, well, if they're going to talk about it anyway, let's give them something to talk about.
Right.
One of my favorite songs and movies.
I know.
Let's
give
them something.
But even when she comes out of her bedroom, she's walking differently.
She's
walking
in a nightgown.
Seductively.
It's not a seductive nightgown,
it's
but
not
it is
very,
her nightgown.
It's like a robe or something like that. Yeah. But she's walking a little differently.
Yeah. You know? So she's saying, let them think that. Let's give them exactly what they want. I'm like, is she an idiot?
Then she puts her arms around him. She's got her face is like an inch away from him.
And Johnny loves this
He's
idea
because like,
he thinks we're going to do it.
I'm in.
And I'm like, why is it a good idea to prove them right?
Right. Yeah. I don't
she's
know.
An idiot.
Yeah.
She is an absolute idiot. I don't get this at all.
I'm going to have to go watch more episodes because I don't remember her. I never saw that many episodes, but I don't remember her being ditzy.
It's utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How dare they say that? I'm going to walk in and prove that they're right.
Right. Maybe the writer was different on this episode.
I have no idea what is going on here. But anyway. All right. Back at the station the next day, she enters wearing Johnny's t-shirt and her hair all messed up.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what's going on? You're wearing Johnny's shirt? She said, well, it was nearby the bed when I got up this morning. And by the way, I sleep naked.
I was naked. Yeah, it's all I had.
Okay, I'm uncomfortable right. and she's an idiot.
Right.
What right. is she do? I don't get it.
All your issues are coming out.
This is an issue.
Right. No, it doesn't make sense.
There's one.
It doesn't make sense.
It makes no sense why right. she's doing. Why right. is she doing? What is her right. end game here? So meanwhile, Johnny's in the other room. He's in Andy's office, and he's saying, "Look, these rumors have got to stop." Mm-hmm. You know, he's really taking.
He's
off
defending her.
He says she generously offers me a place to stay, mm-hmm. and suddenly everybody's treating her like she's a brazen hussy.
Right.
Meanwhile, she's in the other room acting like a brazen right. hussy, trying to prove
she's
them
acting
right.
like she's 11.
She's trying to prove them right, which I don't. Yeah. I don't get any of this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't she tell him what they were going to do? Didn't she say, okay, this is how we're going to act when we go there? Because they don't have their story straight.
Right. It looked like he didn't know she was going to do that.
Yeah, but I thought.
The previous scene, she was saying, mm-hmm. we're going to do this.
But anyway, so Andy says, oh, Johnny, don't you know how people are? It's just gossip. And Johnny said, no, well, I don't deal in gossip. Mm-hmm. I deal in plain, simple truth. And by mm-hmm. the way,
right.
speaking about the truth, I know what you're planning on doing. I know you plan on giving Rex my time slot.
Right.
I know what you're planning on doing. He's like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You know? So Johnny made that all up in his head. As a matter of fact, he writes him a check and gives him a raise.
Right. That's the truth.
You're keeping your time slot and you're getting a raise because mm-hmm. you're doing such a great job. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Some things are getting resolved here. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, the station manager, Mr. Carlson, is walking around. He knows nothing going on at this station. And when he thinks something, it's something else. It's just all, everything here was a misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. Because then Bailey comes in and says, I heard that you only let me do the talk show because Les said he didn't want to do it. And Andy said, well, yeah, that's true. So she's like, well, I'm going to prove you wrong.
I'm going to do it.
It's just all a lot of stuff going on in this radio station. But what I did like about it, for an ensemble show, they used everybody.
They did. Right.
Maybe a little too much, because if y'all are listening to this and are feeling a little lost right now, especially mm-hmm. if you didn't watch the episode, it was a lot going on. It was a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of conversations. It was really, really hard because Johnny assumed he was getting fired. Everybody assumed Johnny and Bailey were hooking up. Les thought he was going to do the interview show and then Bailey got it. But then that was because Les didn't want to, but I don't know where that came from. We didn't even hear Les say he didn't want to do it. I don't know what was going on there. It was just a lot of misunderstanding.
They're rearranging the lobby.
For what reason?
Where did that fit in any of the storylines?
It didn't.
I mean, to give Lonnie Anderson some lines.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what else would she have done?
I didn't even bring that up because it's like, it don't even make sense.
Yeah.
So everything was misunderstandings. We're going to take a little break and then we're going to come back and do our segments. So I'd just like to announce that if you are not a member of our Facebook group, please go join. It's called Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And what I do is about a week or two before the podcast drops, I will go in and tell you what show we're going to be podcasting about next, but specifically what episode we're going to be talking about. And I'll tell you exactly where to find it, on what platform. I'll even post a link, whether it's Amazon or Hulu or any of the free streaming apps like Dailymotion, Pluto TV, Tubi TV or Crackle TV. I'll let you know exactly where to find it. That way you can go in, watch the episode, and when you listen to the podcast, you can follow along with us scene by scene because you will have seen the episode. And you can find out, did you laugh in the same places we laughed in? Did you not like what we like? Or did you like what we liked? And it'll be kind of fun to follow along. Just wanted to put that announcement out there to let you know that in that Facebook group, you'll have all the information before the podcast drops. All right, we're back. I've just been informed.
So you should leave it in.
That I'm mispronouncing voluptuous. I'm apparently saying voluptuous. I know it is voluptuous, everyone out there. Okay, so I'm not going to edit it out, but I know how to say voluptuous.
Voluptuous.
I got schooled on that break just now. So, all right.
Yep.
What we also were talking about is that this episode was all over the place. We think they had too much going on. And it makes me feel like this podcast is all over the place because the episode was all over the place. There's just no other way to talk about it without it sounding like a mess, because it kind of was a mess.
Kind of was.
So that's really the end of the episode. Some things get resolved, other things don't, because she was still out there acting like a hussy. They all still think something happened. Nothing was done to kind of turn them off of that rumor. She did something to fuel the rumor. So we don't know what happened with the main rumor of the show.
Well, the only one who apologized was Andy.
Yes, to Johnny.
Program manager, to Johnny. He said, okay, we didn't really mean that. Nobody said that.
Yeah, but he didn't apologize to Bailey.
But he didn't tell Les or Bailey or, yeah. Or Rex or anybody. They didn't clean up the remodeling, unless it's going to be on another episode. Maybe they carried those storylines forward. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Is there anything in your notes we haven't covered? No, because you have no notes.
Hang on. Oh, no notes.
He has no notes.
It's all in my head.
Okay. All right. The humor meter.
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
Me first?
Can I go first?
You can go first. Absolutely. Show.
I'm giving it a 2.
Okay.
And I'm giving it a 2 because there were 2 funny lines in the whole in the show.
Yeah.
One of those funny moments was when Jennifer says that they're decorating the lobby.
Yes.
Visitors will be impressed until they talk to someone.
Right.
And then at the end, when Mr. Carlson, the station manager, comes in, mm-hmm. because everybody's talking and arguing or whatever, and he says, "What is this?" And Bailey says, "It's a radio station." That was funny. So I give it a 2 for the 2 funny lines. What do you give it?
I give it like a 1 or a 1.5. I'm comparing it to some current shows today, which is hard to do, but there were 2 funny moments, I thought, like I said. One funny moment was in the apartment when Johnny Fever thought that she was really hitting on him and really there was something going to happen. And he says, excuse the drool, but I'm with you. And then when Herb tried to get the light bulbs out of the sockets and they burned his hand. It's kind of silly funny, pretty low.
But yet, and it's the reason we have both of these little segments. We have the humor meter and we have the watchability meter. Because the watchability meter, I have it out of 6.
Right.
Simply because it's an interesting concept of that workplace. It's a very interesting cast of characters. There's a lot you can do with these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Venus Flytrap is hysterical. He don't have a huge role in this
one,
but he is funny.
Right.
The bumbling, bumbling.
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 There is an M in bumbling, not voluptuous. You misplaced your M. You found it and put it in another word.
I just
there's a bubbling, a bubbling, voluptuous blonde.
Voluptuous.
No, but I'm saying you're putting M in the wrong word.
Oh.
Bubbling, voluptuous. Wrong. M's in the wrong word.
Okay, whatever.
Whatever.
But it's an interesting cast of characters.
Right.
And there's a lot they can do, and I like the premise of the show.
Yes.
So I gave it a 6 on watchability. I'd watch it again.
I would agree with that. Probably 7, maybe. 6 or 7.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I've seen other episodes. And I remember when you told me I was going to be doing this show, I was like, cool. I've seen that show several times. And I remember it being funny.
Yeah.
And it's a good premise. A lot of possibilities. You said before I think the first time I saw it, you said you picked this episode for a reason. The only reason I can think of is watching for burglars.
Burglars.
It has to be a reason. Because other than that, it's not funny.
We had a little tie-in with it. Well,
as I was watching, I'm like, why did she pick this episode?
I didn't have a lot to choose from because it's got to be on a platform that everybody can see it.
That's
and
true.
I didn't have time to, you know, screen a lot of them. So it was, you know, I said, well, that would be something cool for us to talk about. You
right.
know, so
it was
a very voluptuous episode. Okay. I'm going to give you some useless trivia.
Okay.
There's a bulletin board or wall spaces that are plastered with bumper stickers for radio stations across the country. Mm-hmm. They were sent in by real life radio DJs who were avid fans of the show.
Okay. Yep.
So that's pretty cool.
The
show was famous for playing the music of up and coming bands. Many artists have said that their music being on the show helped their popularity, including Blondie, U2, The Cars, Toto, The Knack, and Devo.
Okay.
I've heard that. Blondie was so grateful for the show making their song Heart of Glass a hit that they gave their gold record to the producers and it is hanging in the WKRP bullpen in seasons 2 through 4.
Okay, cool.
So that's pretty cool.
Cool.
Now, while the series prided itself on writing and acting with hit songs, keeping the rights to play those songs would have cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars. So in the 1990s, when it was reissued for syndication, nearly all of the original music played by the DJs was replaced with generic studio music. Mm. So for some reason, for the initial run, they didn't have to pay all that. But when it went into syndication, it would have cost them a load. So they pulled all that music from it, which is weird because we saw it on YouTube and it had the original music.
Right.
So
that's true.
But that's probably illegal.
That's true. Probably a good thing.
The character of Herb Tarlick, who's the sales manager, was known for wearing very tacky suits. Right. And you notice he was always wearing those plaid, loud things. Mm-hmm. In one episode, when Herb wears a particularly outrageous suit, Venus Flytrap remarks, "Somewhere out there, there's a Volkswagen with no seats." One of Herb's suits was actually made from the seat covers of an old Volkswagen. Okay. This is the most interesting tidbit about who turned down the role of Dr. Johnny Fever.
He's
the star of a show that I've reviewed on this podcast.
Okay.
I think he's very good looking. I had a huge crush on him when I was young. When I was very young.
Not Parker Stevenson.
No. No. When I was younger.
Donny Osmond.
No.
Who'd you have a crush on when you were younger?
David Cassidy.
David Cassidy, yes.
Turned down the role of Dr. Johnny Fever, which I can't see him in that role.
No.
David Cassidy was kind of too goody two-shoes looking.
Right.
Dr. Johnny Fever is a stoner, kind of. In 1980, Hanna-Barbera planned to collaborate with the creator of the show to make an animated series of WKRP with all eight of the characters as dogs.
Dogs?
But the series never got off the ground. Good. Thank goodness. That sounds horrible.
That would have been horrible.
Venus Flytrap's real name was Gordon Sims, and he was a school teacher before he became a DJ.
Hmm.
And this is the first sitcom to show a character using or handling cocaine. Mm-hmm.
Who?
In the episode February 26, 1979, called Johnny Comes Back, apparently Johnny Fever's handling a little cocaine.
Well, he was a drug addict for sure. He'll tell you that. Wow.
That's some interesting tidbits there.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Very good.
Have you anything to add?
I don't think so. No.
This was bad.
Yeah. As I was watching it, I'm like, I don't get it. It really was all over the place. I mean, each scene was almost a different conversation. I mean, the underlying theme was Bailey and Johnny Fever, right?
Right.
That was the
and if they would have just let that story really play out a little more believably without her throwing in all this ridiculousness.
They could have resolved a little more.
And let everybody apologize to them for jumping to that conclusion. Mm-hmm. But it was never resolved. But yet, I like the show because I think I like the premise. I like the characters. So.
Well, my favorite character was Mr. Carlson because he's clueless. I mean, he's the funniest.
Yeah.
He's the funniest just because he's so clueless. But at the end, we didn't talk about that too much. At the end, when he's talking to Andy, he says, "So what's next?" I mean, you're running the place. What do you mean you don't know what you're asking your program manager or program director
and he
or whatever?
Says it really
what's next?
Like Andy, what's next?
What's next?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just and he leaves.
Yeah, it's just
silly. He's the funniest guy.
Incompetent.
He's funny.
All right, so that's it for WKRP in Cincinnati. Not a great episode. But we think it's a good show.
Very good. Yep.
So we're going to leave y'all with that. And we're going to say bye because you did mention Seinfeld, didn't you?
I did.
Yes.
I think so. Yes.
Yeah.
I did.
All right. Say bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye. This is Michelle. And thank you for joining us for this episode of Old TV with a New Twist. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on your Apple Podcast app. And join our Facebook group, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about, and we'll keep you informed of what's to come. We'll be back next month with a whole new episode of Old TV with a New Twist.